Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, we talk about Michigan 211, a free confidential hotline that connects callers to often life-saving resources. We talk about the blessing of the dogs taking place at the Shelley Irwin Fun Run. Hot Works offers stress relief and more at a 24-hour infrared fitness studio. Disasterville could be coming to your local high school if requested. And we talk about a feel-good story on the power of animal rescue, talking to the author of Fur Mama.
We've had tornadoes, we've had thunderstorms, and of course, even last night was a little chilling. So we talked to my next guest, Chad Beeser, Emergency Management Officer for Michigan 211. We'll call you, I think it's okay, the disaster dude. Chad, is that okay for you?
That's totally fine, yes.
The disaster dude. Pretty cool. Chad, we do take this seriously. Michigan 211, a free, confidential, and available 24/7, 365 hotline. What are you responsible for?
Well, I mean, we're responsible for a host of things that are related to health and human services. So if things are a little bit sideways in your life and you're looking for some support, if you don't know where to go to find clothing, if you have food insecurity, daycare, formula for a baby, any of the number of those things, you know, you're struggling with your bills. 211 has a live human being on the other end of the line that will walk you through options and choices in your area, in your community. And in times of disaster, you know, those things don't get easier. So we support our communities in times of disaster to help people, you know, get back on their feet and work through solutions.
Yes, and of course that EF3 tornado that recently devastated Union City, earliest of its magnitude in Michigan's history. So we just don't know which side of the world is going to be affected next. So are you even stepping up more to ensure that it's not just weather aware but resource ready, as you mentioned?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, there's two hot halves to that equation. There are the people that are on the call, as I mentioned, but then there's resource management. And that is a intensive process. Multiple people, 211, spend their livelihood working with our partners and finding, you know, what's available, sorting through what's appropriate. You know, the tornadoes kicked off a whole series of events throughout Michigan for a few weeks, from that to flooding and then an ice storm in northern Michigan, right? So it's finding, you know, shelter is a big one when, you know, power goes out and it's cold because of an ice storm, and directing people to that, you know, finding oxygen for people if they don't have power for an extended period of time. You know, you've got water in your basement. What are the volunteer groups that are out there? You know, we work with the volunteer and the VOED structure, which is volunteers that are active in disaster. So, you know, it's not an easy process, and it's definitely not easy for an individual. So that's kind of where we step up on that resource part, is really finding a good, valid resources for people in the moment.
Yes, we know our sirens provide the warning, but you as 211 providing the what's next. Is there an eligibility for this service, Chad Beeser, or is anyone available to use?
Anyone can call. Obviously, certain programs that we may refer to would have eligibility, but 211 is for, you know, the entire public.
And again, back to what you had mentioned, survivors perhaps from damage to emergency shelters, food, and the mental health support essential for recovery. What else, when it comes to being resource ready, are you available for?
I mean, the long-term recovery we support. So, you know, we're talking about disasters right now, but it's you're always in a disaster. I work with people and getting your head wrapped around that. So, you know, if it's not gray skies, it's blue skies, and that's preparedness. So, you know, we support our communities through planning and, you know, that kind of process, making sure that we're ready to respond. So, you know, we have new tools for 211, new ways to integrate with our partners. One of them, a big piece, and people don't realize, you might be able to take care of yourself, but even reporting your damage is critical. That brings money back to your community. So, you know, working with your emergency management office, listening or signing up to their alerts, or being focused on how they communicate social media wise is important. And 211 helps to dovetail with that. And we collect that information as well on behalf of our community. So, you know, you get dollars back to your community, whether it's through state or federal funds, if a disaster is big enough. So, You know, that's one example of many of how 211 kind of supports getting resources for not only you but for your community to rebuild and, you know, move on with life.
Chad Visser, your passion evident as the disaster dude, emergency management officer for Michigan 211. Of course, this is different than our 911. Yes.
Yeah, correct. And typically speaking, you know, 911 is there in that response part of an event. So it's saving lives. It's keeping things safe and, you know, directing police, law enforcement, you know, fire services, whatever that may be, EMS to an event. You know, but that's one slice of the entire cycle we just talked about. And 211, just like 911, so all you have to dial is 211, you know, pick up the slack where, you know, it might not be right now. You know, I mentioned the idea of, you know, if you're going to run out of oxygen, if you're trapped in your home in an ice storm without power, but it's going to be an issue. And that frees up space for 911 to respond to life-threatening emergencies. And 211 usually supports, you know, a deeper, wider, you know, net casting of issues and problems that people might have that we can, you know, direct law enforcement or other partners to support, right? So, yeah, similar, but not the same.
And lastly, Chad, when we say Michigan 211, you're available in all four corners and our UP in this great Wolverine state?
Absolutely. We have seven different call centers. They all have certain specialties. One of them is the 988 mental health crisis hotline, as you mentioned earlier. But they all we cover all counties. We can handle the calls. We have a texting platform, 898-211. So you can contact us anyway.
Great. Chad Visser, thank you again. Disaster guy, thank you for that term. Disaster dude, even better. Appreciate you. Michigan 211, this free, confidential, available 24/7, 365 hotline, connecting callers to life-saving resources. Stay, keep the energy, Chad. Take care.
Thank you.
She's ready. This could be a big day, big weekend for you, Reverend Ginny Makata in the house, your niche blessing animals. We'd like you to bless us today for this weekend. Animalblessings.love will review where to find out more about you, and thank you in advance for your service to our fun run to bless the animals and the most likely the humans prior. Ginny, Reverend Ginny, good morning.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
We had fun last year.
We did. We did.
We just need some animals to be in the house on that 25th, but we'll talk more about that because your niche is blessing animals. How'd you find this love?
Actually, I'm an ordained animal chaplain, and my animal chaplains, just to kind of give you the quick version of what we do, we bear witness to and nurture the sacred human-animal bond, especially in moments of life loss and transition. As you know, because I know you have beloved animal companions yourself, animals are not just part of our homes. They nuzzle their way into our hearts, into our daily routines, and really our sense of belonging. And so a lot of the work that I do centers on grief. I have a monthly grief support group that I facilitate. The next one is April 14th. If anybody's interested, they can get in touch with me and get more information. It is a free resource here in the community. And that is, you know, as someone once said, grief is love with nowhere to go. Well, this is somewhere to go. So that's kind of it in a nutshell in terms of what animal chaplains do. I also happen to be an animal attorney. And so my ministry expands into other arenas, and so I do planning for your animal companions, and I'm currently working with the Non-Human Rights Project on a chimpanzee case that's taking place in the UP, and so lots of things going on, lots of things.
Yes, many hats you wear,
many
but
hats.
Again, the Reverend hat is wonderful. Do you work closely with the hospices in our area? How do you come to our side when we are in
yes.
grief or at the moment of loss?
I work with veterinarians whose specialties are palliative care and hospice. In particular, Heaven at Home is an organization. That's actually where we have our group. And they are the folks in town that will come to your home to meet with your animal companions and you and see how best to maintain quality of life until it's time. and then assist with a sacred exit into the what's next. And so those, the veterinarians are a big resource, big referral source. And I'm working with a number of them to establish euthanasia protocols and some other things that are really important. But yeah, that's generally how the grief support work is. That's the feeder, are the veterinarians and people who've attended the group. It's been going on for about 15 years. So we're now at a place where people have had an animal die and been a part of that group, and then are able to share with friends their experience about grief. Groups are just, I'm such a believer in the healing possibilities in a group setting.
I don't even need to state this, but animals are our family.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. And there, I often say, you know, when your animal dies, no one shows up at the door with a casserole. And it's a disenfranchised grief in many ways, although there's so many homes that so many homes share their lives with animal companions. And yet for some who maybe haven't had an experience with an animal companion, it's hard to understand. And so this is a place where you can come where the only ground rule is, I tell folks, when we start to share, you can't start with, I know this sounds crazy, because nothing is crazy in this group. But on the flip side, on the more joyful side, I get to bless animals like I'm going to be doing at the Shelley Irwin Fun Run for the second year in a row. I'm so excited about that. So people, please bring your animals out. I would just love to get my hands on them and bless them. It's such a beautiful event. It was so much fun last year. And I try to set up a space that's a little quieter. So if you're concerned that it's too much, we can make it work. It is just such a beautiful event. And I want to also let you know that the next day, Fountain Street Church is going to be having its annual Reverence for Life service. And so the Reverence for Life is actually it refers to Albert Schweitzer's ethic, which was that all lives are sacred. And so on this event that happens each day, really as close to Earth Day as possible, the Reverend Nathan Dannison and I are going to co-officiate this event. It's beautiful. Everyone is welcome, as well as your animal companions. This will also be an opportunity to have them blessed there.
Yes. What am I witnessing when you are blessing an animal, Reverend Ginny?
That's such a beautiful, beautiful question. I tend to look at this as not that our animals need blessing, but this is an opportunity for us to express our gratitude for the joy and the beauty that they bring into our homes and into the world. And so and sometimes folks do have animals who are not doing well, and they're just, you know, they're hoping that maybe with a blessing, some healing can happen in some way, whatever way that, however that might look. But it really is an opportunity to just recognize the beauty of these creatures and really anyone. And we're talking all creatures. This is not just dogs and cats. At my group, I've had people come that have lost rabbits or have lost rats or a snake once. So it really is for anybody. Chickens, that's another one that lately I've been having a lot more folks call about their beloved birds. So, yeah.
Still miss Buck, my goose that I showed in 4-H. There we are.
There you go.
Do you lay hands on the animal?
I do, if it's okay with their human companions, and in most cases it is. I also have little charms that the humans receive that they can do. That are generally, a lot of times they'll be little I've been blessed, or they're little St. Francis charms, because oftentimes I'll do things in conjunction with St. Francis Day, like out at the Dominican Center with Mick Carlson's group. So.
And do you have some of those planned this year?
Yeah, we do that annually. We've been doing that since 2009. In fact, we started that during the first year of Art Prize. Mick and I met, and ever since then, we've done an annual event out at the Dominican Center's St. Francis Sculpture and Prayer Path, which is just a gorgeous place for this.
I think Ralphie and I were there one year. May he rest in peace. But it's time for Bubby to show up. Where do we find out more information on your work?
Animalblessings.love is my website, and I'm happy to direct people there. And that's probably the best way to get in touch with me. There's a contact section there.
Do you work with all faiths?
I do. I'm actually an ordained interfaith minister. And so, yes, all faiths.
Is there a rainbow heaven?
What a lovely question. What a lovely
question. If you don't
question.
Say yes, I'm still going to believe.
Absolutely. No. And that would be my response. What do you think?
I'm going to say yes because I'm going to sit on a cloud with wings and,
there you go.
And oversee it.
Absolutely.
I digress. What's this weekend mean to you?
This weekend, in terms of Easter. Okay, I wanted to make sure I'm not talking about the same thing. Well, my background is in Christianity, and so it will always be home. And so this is a really special weekend. In fact, I thought about that today. I thought, wow, we're doing this on Good Friday. That's interesting. But I find the idea of resurrection in whatever that looks like to you, this idea of new life, whether that I want to just mention that one of the things that we talk about in the group on the regular is that many people have a sense that they have a sense of their animals' eternal spirits after they're gone. And so it's something we don't talk about a lot, but we sure do in this group. And once someone raises it, many people will say that I'm so glad you said something. I didn't want somebody to think that I wasn't well if I said I thought I heard my cat's nails on the kitchen floor. And so I absolutely believe that our animals are, and which is going back to what Easter means, are resurrected in some capacity, and that their eternal spirits continue to companion us even after their little earthly temples can no longer serve them here.
Well, I thought it might have been Ralphie, Petey, or Leah, but I think I have a little mouse in my house. So I digress on that. Tell me, a couple minutes left. Again, Reverend Jeannie Makita with us. Animals, what is it? Animalsblessings.org?
Animal blessings. Yes, and actually when I went to draft or create my website, Oregon was no longer available. And so the gal that was helping me said, well, we could use animalblessings.love. That would work. It's just so beautiful and unusual. And I thought, absolutely, it works.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So that's why it's that. But yeah, the other thing that I do is I have, offer workshops for up-and-coming animal chaplains. I'm actually co-directing a program that's a national, actually international. I think I had someone from France at my workshop a couple weeks ago. But these are folks around the world this is an up-and-coming field, and so there hopefully will be an animal chaplain in everyone's neighborhood in the not-too-distant future.
All right. Well, back to square one. So you will be joining us April 25th. Thank you for your graciousness for the Shelley Irwin Fun Run. So bring my dog. Obviously, probably the rat might not be the candidate here. And then prior to the start, there will be a place for you to do a blessing and perhaps do a blessing for us humans as well.
I would love to do that. That would be lovely. And I imagine there's some of the animals will be doing the run with you or the walk and...
Yes. That is part of the whole program, and there is a gift for your dog when you finish. So
yes, oh lovely.
WGBU.org/funrun for registration. But more importantly, how do I find out more about you? One more time.
If you're interested in any of the things that I've spoken about, or you would just like to have coffee and talk about it, I'd love to do that. You can reach me at animalblessings.love, and I'd love to hear from you.
Any animals at the Makita household?
We do. I have two English shepherds, Blaze and Ember. They're sisters. They will be 8 in a couple weeks. One of them, Blaze, is a therapy dog, so she works with children in the community.
Very nice. So, yes. We're going to do a Living West Michigan feature on therapy dogs here shortly, so I know the power
of...
Oh,
lovely.
Bubby, Babe, nor I have to write down the, or Judy, neither are eligible for therapy dogs with their craziness.
Okay.
But we love them. Can't get my dog straight. May Petey Lee and Ralphie rest in peace. Jenny, we'll see you on the 25th.
Thank you so much, Holly. It was a joy.
Maybe this could be a weekend for stress reduction and mental clarity. Then head to Hot Works. That's WORX. It's a 24-hour, I'm going to make sure that's right, infrared fitness studio. You in the house. We were able to meet at the Ada Extravaganza. Meg Murray, good morning to you. I bet you are the one with the least stress in the room. Good morning.
Good morning. I wish I could say I have no stress, but running a business is you know, quite an endeavor, but Hot Works definitely makes it an easy and a nice place to go when I'm done working and just relax and exercise and feel lots better.
Yeah, well, it looks like you could possibly do this at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, yes, you can. Yes.
All right, my friend, big picture, thank you for you and, of course, your support for the Shelley Irwin Fun Run. We appreciate that. Okay. Hot Works, 24-hour infrared fitness studio. What are you all about?
So, like we said, we are a 24-hour infrared sauna fitness studio. Our members have all-day access to the studio. We have our doors are always locked, so members basically use their app to book sauna sessions, and they use the app. There's like a security pass inside the app, and they kind of just buzz in at the door. We have 8 really big infrared saunas with TVs in each one. So we have virtual instructors just kind of on a loop all day doing different workout styles that you do within the sauna. So we have 4 dedicated to cardio. So we have cycling, kind of an elliptical machine, and a water rower. And then our other 4 saunas are isometric based, so more pose based, like yoga, Pilates, bar, core, buns.
Buns,
yeah.
Those kind of buns.
Those buns, yes.
There we are. That roving microphone is going to come out and visit. All right, a couple things. You're putting sauna and exercise in the same boat. How are we doing this? Because do I want to get overheated? Will I get over here? Take me through this.
Great question. They are definitely hot. You can adjust the heat. So we like to tell people to start out at about 120 degrees. The saunas don't go over 130 degrees. But obviously, you can crank it down if you're feeling too hot. I like to tell people just kind of listen to your body. If you start to feel too hot, stop the exercise and just lay there, because just sitting in a sauna will have health benefits already. And of course, drink lots of water, add some electrolytes, and just stay hydrated and kind of listen to your body.
More on the general introduction. This is 3D training?
Yes. So the kind of concept of Hot Works, so it's a franchise, actually. So there's about 800 locations. 3D training is a combination of heat, infrared energy, and exercise. So those are the 3 kind of core components that make Hot Works unique.
All right. How is this reducing my stress?
Great question. The heat of the saunas actually have a parasympathetic nervous system response. So it's kind of that rest and relax indicator that when you're in the heat, your brain is telling your body to relax, to rest. You'll come out feeling a little bit more energized, a little bit calmer, very similar to, you know, if you just want to sit in a sauna, like a regular kind of steam sauna, you just come out feeling better. And now we're pairing it with exercise, so you're getting that kind of good benefit mentally, also physically as well.
Yes. And there would be some mental clarity along this journey as well.
Yes. Definitely. I think for me...
because you better do this.
Right. Yes, definitely. For me, I part of the mental clarity for me was actually the pain relief that I felt. So I have chronic back pain, and working out in the sauna every day actually just cleared up so much inflammation that I just generally felt better every day, and actually looked forward to going to the gym instead of kind of dreading it. So it's become a positive and very welcome endorphin boosting therapy.
Opportunity. Yes,
yeah,
therapy.
Exactly. Thank you
For the mental clarity. And again, my notes from your notes, infrared energy is what's happening, improving blood circulation, oxygen flow, which, yes, can have a positive impact on cognitive function in the brain. We all need an extra boost in this. it's a sauna, infrared. What's your age range here?
Age range, great question. Anyone 12 to 16 can come in with a parent. 17 can come in without a parent. They just need the parent to sign the waiver. And then 18 and up can come in and just sign up by themselves.
And you say you have 8 stations, for lack of better terms?
Yes. 8 kind of 10 by 10 really big saunas. They each fit up to 3 people per session.
Yes. So one may not have one all to themselves.
No, I would say during our busier times, so like after work, before work, Saturday mornings, those are technically more busy. So you might share a sauna. Otherwise, if you're coming up kind of during off hours, you'll probably have it to yourself.
Yes. What am I wearing?
Just regular workout clothes, whatever you're comfortable in.
So, you know, some traditional saunas just want you to wear a towel, but
on. We want clothing.
Oh, TMI. There we are again. Yeah. Hot Works is the business. 24-hour infrared fitness studio, stress reduction and mental clarity. Of course, Meg Murray with us. Meg, well, where are you located again?
We are in Cascade, just off 28th Street in the Cascade East Plaza. There's a big D&W Market kind of anchoring that plaza, and we're right in there.
Yes. Are you busy? Are we learning about you?
Yeah, we just opened in December, so we are the first location in Grand Rapids, trying to get the word out and bring new members in. So we are kind of steadily growing and just appreciate getting to come here and kind of spread the word.
Yes, of course.
The first three-dimensional fitness program by combining this heat, infrared energy, and exercise. More specifics, do I need a doctor's signature before I enter?
No, I like to tell people that if you have a cardiac condition, talk to your doctor first. If you're pregnant, you're welcome to work out. I would just say do not use the heat.
So there's got to be some signature somewhere
To
keep everybody safe and acknowledging the reality of some stress that can happen with your stress reduction.
Yes.
What's your membership like?
Great question. We have two different membership options. Both are unlimited access. Our Sweat Basic gives you unlimited access to our studio here in Cascade. It's $59 a month for unlimited sessions. It gives you access to the app, and we have monthly challenges and kind of 90-day rewards and stuff like that. Our Sweat Elite membership is $79 a month, and that one gives you kind of a little bit more bells and whistles within the app, some diet tracking, AI-based weightlifting training, and access to studios outside of the area as well.
So worth it, but make sure you use it. That is for sure. And so, as you mentioned, does each of your stations have a cycle or something in it?
Four of them have the actual cardio equipment. So 3 cycles in one, 3 cycles in another. And then our 4 that are kind of the pose-based ones are just yoga mats.
Very cool. Hot Works.
Yes.
WORX. There we are. All right. Well, we'll... again, see you at the fun run and brag on you there, and then get you back in a year to see how things have gone. Yeah. How's that?
Yeah, we'd love it. And just wanting to let everyone know, your first session is free, so please come check us out.
They say nothing's free, but there we are. All right, and one more time, how do I find out more information, Meg?
You can head to our website, hotworks.net, and just type in your zip code, and the Grand Rapids location will pop up.
Do you see yourself getting a treatment today?
Oh, yes.
That was a no-brainer. All right, thanks, Hot Works, 24-hour infrared fitness studio. Get fit and, of course, reduce your stress and clear up the mental side, and we'll all be perfect. Thank you, Meg.
Thank you.
We thank him for his service. Staff Sergeant Adam Szabo on the line. He's a Michigan National Guard soldier, so an extra thank you. We talked to you about how the U.S. Army National Guard is bringing Disasterville, a new mixed reality experience, to our high schools in Michigan. Good morning to you, Sergeant Szabo.
Good morning, Shelley.
Appreciate you and the good work you and yours do. Let's get right into our conversation. It's happening this spring. How are you transforming high school gyms here in Michigan?
So we're actually, we're going to be setting up a, you know, kind of a simulation that's going to be implemented on the gymnasium floor. And it's going to be showing, you know, we'll have it's a virtual reality simulator too that's going to emulate wildfire, floods, also earthquakes in the form of virtual reality. So the kids are going to be able to sit in a Zodiac boat, an inflatable too. They're going to be able to paddle, so it's going to replicate them, you know, rescuing people from the flash floods. And, you know, this is very similar too to, like, you know, the Midland response and also the Houghton County floods that we've seen in the state of Michigan a couple of years back. But yeah, they're going to be having the headsets on. They're going to be operating the oars, the jaws of lights, and also putting out wildfires with the headsets on too. And it's a lot of fun.
Why do this?
So we want the younger students to see, you know, the great things and the great responses, mission focus that the National Guard has to offer too. So one of those is natural disaster relief. And unfortunately, you know, that's very common too in the state of Michigan. So we want them to see, you know, one of our main mission focuses too, and just something they could be potentially be, you know, part of something bigger than themselves. So we want them to be, get as familiar as possible with it.
And are many young Americans, maybe old too, unaware of the wide-ranging skills of the National Guard soldiers such as yourself?
I can't speak on, you know, everybody or, you know, familiarity across the board, but we just want to make this as an opportunity for another chance to show them the great things that we're doing and then, you know, how they could potentially affect their community, their state, and their country in a positive way too, and how we could help, you know, our fellow citizens.
So this starts in spring, showing how you as a National Guard soldier respond to natural disasters and emergency through hands-on simulations. You mentioned this, but let's get into a bit more detail. The activation features, what, 3 10-minute immersive missions. Talk to me about a couple of these again.
Absolutely. So, 3 different iterations. You're going to be in 5-man teams, or the students will be in 5-man teams. Throw in the headset too, and then also you'll be picking up, you know, let's say like a chainsaw, you'll be picking up, you know, wildfire fire hose too, and it'll tell you, hey, you got to put out this fire, or you have to, there's going to be citizens too that are trapped in a car, or they're going to be, you know, stuck in, you know, some debris or rubble, and you're actually going to be walking around working as a team, trying to pick up that rubble, trying to pick up that debris, put up, extinguish the fire too, and it has a little timer of, you know, how long are you, you know, putting out this fire, how far do you have to paddle to reach a specific person, or you're rescuing pets. So, 10 minutes apiece too, but yeah, it's going to be great to see, and actually doing this firsthand, just working in teams, communicating with each other too, just like they would be if they were an Army National Guard soldier.
Yes. As we are here in our March, will you be still looking for schools to participate, or are you full?
Absolutely, too. I mean, that'll all be coordinated through our, you know, our National Guard representatives, too. We'd love to get more high schools involved, but, you know, obviously that'll all go through our National Guard representatives, too, if we, you know, if there are more schools that are interested.
In general, how important is participation in Disasterville? We should have started this years ago, Adam.
I mean, I think it's extremely important too, especially with, you know, everything that's going on with these natural disaster responses. And especially, you know, coming from Michigan too, we've seen a lot of these activations where, you know, we're going to be responding to with the ice storms, like the floods. You know, it's great to show the students, hey, there's a local force that, you know, is going to be helping the community, and how, you know, they can be a part of that mission too. So any awareness we can bring, we'd love to get more students involved down the road.
And I trust you also may want students to kind of taste the role of being in a Michigan National Guard.
Absolutely. And it gives them that opportunity too, to speak to soldiers firsthand that, you know, have actually done this too, and they've been experienced this and have responded to these natural disasters. And that's the great beauty of this too, that they can see and talk to those representatives firsthand that have responded to a lot of these disasters.
All right. Details one more time of what is to happen for those to get involved, please. Staff Sergeant Adam Zabel.
Absolutely. So if there are any schools or, local communities that are looking to implement this, get contact our local National Guard representatives. But for any information additionally about the Army National Guard, you can visit nationalguard.com and you can get, you can learn more about our different opportunities there.
Okay, continued good service, but you're bringing your service to our state of Michigan, this Disasterville High-Tech Training Ground, in our local gyms, in the high schools, for the future of the U.S. Army National Guard. Go get them.
Thank you.
Author Diana DuPont found the family she never knew she needed. And it's her story, she writes. Fur Mama, you know where we're going with this. How I found my best life adopting an ex-racehorse and a shelter dog. Diana, glad that you're here. You know I'm going to ask the names of your critters. Good morning.
Thank you, Shelley. So glad to be here with you today.
Yes. What are the names of your critters?
Well, Blackie is the retired racehorse. That's his nickname, Lucian, the official name, the registered name. And Shadow, that's the name that my Labrador came from the shelter. She had that name, and I just didn't have the heart to change it.
That's good, and they know that as well. Diana, you, a self-described diehard careerist, grinding workaholic, married without kids, and now here you are with a maternal opportunity and responsibility. You share a heartfelt memoir that's changing lives. Is that kind of a good setup for us?
It absolutely is. I mean, I was just, you know, I was cradled in the arms of a troubled mother who said, you know, all I have is kids, kids, kids. And then I was marinated in the battle cries of second wave feminism, which was career, 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 and forget family. And if you wanted a family, you married late and you adopted. And so I just went on that train and it got derailed.
Yes. Well, and again, be careful what you wish for, because obviously there is a good ending to the story. Yes, 30 years combined experience as an art curator, writer, and more. So I'll be blunt. Again, we're both Hoosiers. How'd you get derailed, and where did we start to find the next stage?
What was interesting is I had the great good fortune of moving to an area in California, the Central Coast area, where horses were still in people's backyards. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to take this job. It was a job opportunity. And I said, oh my gosh, I see horses here everywhere. Can I relive my childhood dream? And so I took the job. And, you know, I thought, well, eventually I'll return to my childhood dream of having a horse again, which I did. And in that process, I thought I should have a you know, kind of mild-mannered horse. Well, I ended up with a really fractious, tempestuous former racehorse. Our hearts connected. Our eyes met. They locked. I just couldn't get him out of my mind. And the thought that he might go down that train, that line from one owner to another, I just couldn't bear it. So I adopted him, and it started my journey. And along the way, training him became so interesting, so challenging. It became more interesting than my own work in a way, although I love my work. I love art. I love making exhibitions and writing books. But there was something about that connection with that animal, gaining that trust. And it just took over, and it ignited that. So I would call it a maternal acorn that was inside that just had been buried.
And then bring me to the other, I've been using the word critter, but four-legged best friend.
What happened there is that I always wanted a Labrador. I had Labradors as a kid, but I couldn't bear to bring a dog into my life. I wasn't capable, I didn't think, with my work to take care of a large format dog and leave it at home and go to work and then come home at the end of the day, walk at the beginning, walk at the end. I just wasn't capable. Many, many people are. I just wasn't. And so I thought, I have to quit my job to have a dog. And once I was so involved in training my horse and trying to find an accommodation with this fractious thoroughbred, I just said, I'm going to work freelance and then I can adopt this dog. And that's what happened. And I adopted Shadow from a shelter 1 hour within her being euthanized.
Oh, yeah, that tugs at the heart. Give me more information, Diana, then, of our big picture here. Has there been, does there continue emotional healing through the human-animal bond?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, when one of the big lessons I learned is that it, as a career woman, you're kind of, you know, one project after another, one triumph after another, and it just became this kind of narcissistic pursuit, really. And what I learned in gaining the trust of these animals and making them as my own, making my own kind of motherhood, making my own kind of family and becoming a firm mama, is that it is better to give than it is to receive. And that was one of the big lessons that I learned. And it just was really a transformational process for me, and has really made my life completely enriched. And if you want to enrich your life, you know, adopt an animal.
We are. Yet we know a lot of responsibilities do come with that. Your book includes themes of grief, growth, and redemption. Share an example here.
Oh, that's a beautiful way of saying it, Shelley. Well, my mother didn't want children, and you could feel that. And so part of my career drive was to keep proving that, you know, I could do something, that I had some meaning, I had some value. And when you take these animals on, these animals in need, and they're dependent on you, and you're using your full responsibility to take care of them, things just switch. I mean, you just, your life is enriched in a way. And that's what made me kind of turn around and feel more fulfilled than I had ever felt. I mean, I kept making one exhibition after another, one book after another. And you just go, well, and you'd be like, okay, here's the next one. I need to do the next one. And when I adopted Blackie and then Shadow, it was taking care of them and giving to them that gave my life the real meaning it needed.
And is this a tribute to second chances and found family? Some of this in review.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, what was strange, Shelley, is that, you know, when you're in that kind of second wave feminism generation, it was like, you know, you better career, as I said earlier. I didn't know that I had the right or the power or the agency to change myself, that I trained for this. I was supposed to be doing this. That was my career. I had to do it. But then, you know, life intervenes, right? Life happens when you're making plans, other plans. And it was liberating to think that I could reinvent myself in the second half of life and to move halfway across the country to the beautiful Midwest. I mean, the silent beauty here is just extraordinary, and I love it. And I would never have thought of myself here. And that's the other thing, is expect the unexpected and consider it a blessing.
Again, the work by Diana DuPont, 30 years combined experience as an art curator and writer, and yet she's a firm mama and presenting her heartfelt memoir with same title. What's your future?
My future is to continue to advocate for adopting animals in need and for supporting the agrarian lifestyle in farming. I live on a farm in the Midwest, and it's a working field and floral farm. And in order to continue that tradition is very important to me. And, of course, it's very conducive to animals.
Which is key in your life and many others. All right, continue doing good work for Mama, adding this new twist to the ongoing cultural debate about having it all and the nature of true professional and personal success. How do we find out more about your work?
Well, bless your heart. It's DianaDuPont.com. And then the book, of course, is available everywhere. It's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all places in between upon order. So it's out there in the world.
Be careful what you wish for, and an extra carrot or two to both your babies. I don't know. My dogs love carrots. Well, we won't go there. Thank you, Diana. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Stephen Chopsky says this moment will just be another story someday. Hope you have a blessed Easter, and, of course, the way you celebrate your faith. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Shelley Irwin. Have a good weekend. We'll talk on Monday.